Everyone say, praise the Lord. We're wired up here. 1 Kings chapter 20. God is good. I have enjoyed our Sunday school and our service this morning. And I want you to find 1 Kings chapter 20. That's our only Old Testament verse we'll be looking at this morning. The rest will be in the New Testament. But also, shortly thereafter, we're going to go to Galatians chapter number 5. But let's stand to our feet for the reading of one verse of Scripture. Good to have everyone this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. Good to have Tim and Frida back with us tonight. Bill, Betty, Natasha, and Elijah. Good to have you all also. Praise the Lord. God is so good. If you are in 1 Kings chapter 20, say amen.
Amen.
Notice one verse, verse number 11. It says, "And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off." Say amen at the reading of one verse. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. We honor you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. And Lord, this morning as we look to your word, have your way. Guide us, lead us. Just be glorified through this message today. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. Ask you, Lord, this morning to direct our path. Have your way with your power. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Interesting verse of Scripture. Don't know that I've ever heard anyone use this as a text. I want to title my message this morning, Finish Well. And think on the thought, finish well. I'd considered calling this fourth quarter Christians or marathon believers, but I want to title this, finish well. The king of Syria, in league with 20 or 32 other kings and nations, had quite a little union here, and with the strength of all these kings together, you can back up and look at that in verse number 1, sort of felt somewhat overconfident. So he sent a message to the king of Israel and said, you know what? He said, everything you got is mine. Your silver's mine, your gold is mine, your wives are mine, your children's mine, everything you got is mine. And the king of Israel, being somewhat overwhelmed at the power that the king of Syria now has, said, okay, I guess so. You've got the upper hand. And I guess he felt just a little, I don't know, I don't want to use the word, but a little cocky. And said, you know what? I'm sending a messenger, and I want him to look in your house and look in your servant's house, and anything he sees, anywhere he looks, whatever he chooses, I want him to have. And the king of Israel got together with the elders. It's in this chapter, and said, well, what I need to do? And the elders says, look, says, we're not going along with this. We don't agree with this. We're not going along with it. So the king of Israel sent message back and said, okay, I'm not doing that. He said, well, he says, as sure as I can take handfuls of dust, every grain of dust, I could put a rider on a horse and I could come after you. And that's when the king of Israel made this statement that I just read for you in verse number 11 and says, don't let him boast that puts on the harness, but let him boast that puts off the harness. In other words, don't brag about winning the battle until you've won the battle. Are y'all with me? And he that relaxes in his home at the end of the day after winning the battle, laying his armor off then, that's when he can boast. And how many children of God know this morning that when we get to heaven, we'll lay our armor down finally, and it's then and only then that we can really boast and brag in the Lord. Are y'all with me today? So many people today aren't running the race the way they should. Someone say amen. Started off good, but after a little while, got a little bit winded. And, you know, I was thinking when I was in high school and I ran track, wasn't really good. But there was a time I talked to coach and let me run a mile at a meet. And I'd never run a mile at a meet before. I was a long jumper and high jumper. Believe it, as short as I was a high jumper. Praise the Lord. Wasn't much of a sprinter, wasn't much of a long distance runner. But I talked him into letting me run the mile at this one meet. Now, those of you who know what a mile is, that usually a track is a quarter of a mile, and you run around the track four times. I want you to know there was 8 of us in this heat, and we took off, and I want you to know I was going at it for 3 laps. I was right there in the pack. But then there was that 4th lap. And I want you to know, Brother Bill, I run out of gas. And I slowed up. I was not last, but I was 7th out of 8. So I'm praising the Lord that I wasn't dead last. But the point is, it's not how you start the race that really matters. It's how you finish the race that really matters. And I'm not bragging today. Are y'all with me this morning? Someone say, praise the Lord. Now, I started at Calvary, and don't get me wrong, I'm boasting Calvary, but I want you to know I'm still on the road, and I'm still in this race, and I'm going to heaven. My eyes are on the prize. I'm focused on Jesus. Hallelujah. And I believe one day when I lay my armor down, I'll be able to catch my breath. And I'll be able to praise Him without hindrance and without distraction. But right now, I'm guarded. Right now, I'm cautious. Right now, I'm on edge because anything can hinder. I know that. I was telling you earlier, you know, I turned 50 last Tuesday when me and my family Friday went rock climbing. So I'd never done it before. I thought I'd try it. And also, the first couple of rocks I scaled up, I was absolutely scared to death. They had me all harnessed in. I had a helmet. I had special shoes on. I had a rope hold me. There really was no danger in this, but I was afraid. And after a little while, I got to where I would trust that rope. That rope would hold a person a whole lot bigger than me. I got to trust in that rope, and I began to climb with ease. And how many understand we need to know that we've got a rope attached to it? And we're climbing up this ladder. We're climbing this staircase. Glory to God. And as long as Jesus is on our side, we're safe, we're protected. Hold on to Him. Trust in Him, and we'll make it to the other side. Can someone say amen? Now, I've asked you to turn to Galatians. And let me give you just a real quick, and I don't want to preach a whole long time this morning, but I'll preach till I'm done. Someone say praise the Lord. I've heard preachers say that before, Brother Ted. But the book of Galatians, Brother Bill, we see the church there, they started off real good. One scripture said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And Sister Betty, what happened? They started off good. They were trusting in the right gospel. But then they had those folks that come along and says, yes, salvation's great and all, but you need to add a few things to it. We need to go back to the law and looking in the law where you still need to be circumcised. You still need to keep the Sabbath and all these other things. And how many understand that it's Christ and Christ alone that is the sole basis of our salvation? I'm not trusting in the fact that I'm a preacher or that my name's on the roll, but I'm trusting in the fact that I am acquainted with Jesus and my faith is in the work, the finished work of salvation wrought for me on the cross of Calvary. How many are trusting that today? But they got off base, and Paul told this church, and says, though I, or an angel, were to tell you of another gospel, let him be accursed. There is no other gospel. Now in Galatians 5 and 6, he says this, he says, circumcision avails nothing, nor uncircumcision, but he said, but faith which works by love. Verse 7 says, you did run well. You used to run well, but what hinders you now that you're not obeying the gospel? The next verse, verse 8, says, this persuasion does not come from him that called you. And then verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you running this race like you want to win? Come on now. Are you running this race like you really want to win? Are you trying? Are you putting forth that same effort? And I'm preaching to everybody today. I'm preaching to myself. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to those that are in, those that are out. But there's a race to run. There's a prize to be acquired. And I think that if God were to measure some of our effort, how many would say, well, we're not really up to speed? I've used this statement before. If you work for an employer and they hired you based upon your work, would you be employed by God, or would God have to let you go? Good preacher. Now, Jesus in Matthew chapter number 13, He talked about seed falling in 4 places. Now, let's go to that. Someone say, praise the Lord. Matthew 13, verse number 18, He said, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, Hallelujah. Then cometh the wicked one and casteth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed, notice this first place, by the wayside. Accidental, unintentional, whatever, by the wayside. Not purposely put in a good place, but sort of just there. How many know there are some folks that, well, they allow the enemy to steal from them. Just like Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria we mentioned to start with. How many understand he was a bully?
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you all, I encountered bullies. You young folks, listen to me. I don't know whether you'll agree with my advice or not, but you know what you should do to a bully? You should stand up to him. I'm telling you. 95% of the time, you only have to do it once. Amen. That's true. You know, I believe the devil is a bully. And what you need to do is stand up to him. Now, how many know that the devil keeps coming back?
Yes.
But you need to stand up to him. You need to have the song said, hey, your foot on the rock. How's that go? Your head up high. You're looking straight in the eye and telling my mind's made up. I'm serving Jesus and my foot is on that rock of Calvary and I'm not moving. I'm not budging. Stand up to him. And it'll make a difference in your life. You know, you can just sit around and say, oh, you know, the devil's just been on my back all day. Well, bless your defeated little heart. I want you to know the devil's not on my back. Hear me now. He's not in my heart. He's not in my mind. I'll tell you where the devil is in the life of Ted Stidham. The devil is square under my feet. You know why? Because Jesus Christ gave me that victory. And he says, I give you power to tread upon serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Sister Betty, he said, nothing by any means would harm you. Glory to God. But then he went on to say, in this rejoice not, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names are wrote in heaven and I'm rejoicing today that I'm a child of God. Not ashamed of Jesus. I'll brag about him everywhere I go. But one instead of that seed fell on what? By the wayside. Number two, in verse 20, it fell on stony places. And the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. How many want to hear me preach this morning? But he has no root in himself. And after a little while, because of whatever, the seed is hindered. Sprouts up and he's running real good for a while. Now, if you're the type that you're in during the revival, and then you're out between revivals, and then you're in during the revival, and you're out, I'm preaching to somebody here today, and then you're in, and then you're out, and then you're in, and then you're out, I'm just praying that he shows up while you're in.
Amen.
Amen. But what I want to tell you, don't let anything hinder you. Don't let a bully, don't let anyone, glory to God, what we need to do is finish well. Sister Betty was touching on my message this morning. She talked about that individual last hour. Led them to the Lord. The thief on the cross, a few hours before he passed, led them to the Lord. She mentioned how, you know, I was privileged to lead my dad several weeks before he died to the Lord, and he was testifying of the goodness of God. You don't know how good that done a preacher. Be able to lead your daddy to the Lord and see him really receive something good and wonderful. But I want you to know, however you get it, whenever you get it, I want you to make sure at the 12th hour you're working in the garden. Amen. You may get in at the last minute, but get in and don't wait until the last minute. You don't have that guarantee. Someone say, praise the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. Give me a couple more minutes here. I want you to follow me close here. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 24. Which seed are you? Are you the seed by the wayside, the seed among stony places, the seed among thorny places, or are you the seed in good ground? The seed in good ground brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. We need to be all for God that we can be, I believe, in this life. Hallelujah. I don't know, praise the Lord. I can't always, the Lord doesn't give me perfect discernment. And I don't always see, Sister Betty, what's in somebody else's heart and life. But do you feel an urgency in your spirit that the Lord's getting ready to come? Or you need to get ready. You need to be ready. You need to take care of business. Now, we don't know the day or hour. We really don't. I've been teaching on Wednesday nights for a little while. A couple interruptions there. But just talking about the last days. And it's just in my mind and in my heart, friends, that if you miss said, well, you've missed it all. No, my friend, you haven't missed it all. There is a hell prepared for the devil and his angels. That if you miss heaven and you don't receive Jesus and you're not ready to go, and that trumpet sounds. Someone say, praise the Lord. Brother Teddy didn't come to hear that today. Well, you're hearing. You need to be ready. Is it worth taking a chance? Will you put your life on the roulette wheel thinking, well, there's not much of a chance it'll land on my marble or wherever the things work. But would you spin that wheel and take the chance for all eternity? I'll wait till my deathbed and call upon the Lord. Would you take that chance? Would you roll the dice in that way? Well, I want to tell you this morning, it's not worth taking a chance of. I got saved when I was 16. Glory to God. And one regret I have, I remember the Lord dealing with me when I was 13 and I put Him off. I'm glad He dealt with my heart again when I was 16 and I made it right and I've been on this road ever since. And I can highly, without hesitation, without reservation, hallelujah, I can highly recommend Jesus to you. He'll be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll be your companion in tribulation. He'll be with you in the middle of the night when fear grips a hold of you. You'll be able to call upon Him. Don't take that chance. I'm speaking to someone this morning. Eternity is not worth it.
Amen.
Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. We're running this race. Child of God, you may have been running this race for years and you feel like, I need to take me a breather. I need to let up a little bit. And you know, this little compromise really wouldn't amount to a whole lot. Friends, I want you to know if you let up in one area, you'll let up in another, you'll let up in another, and it'll be like dominoes before you know the whole thing will be crashing down. Good preaching this morning, I have to say myself. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, I'd ask you to turn, beginning verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run as hard as they can. They run on. But one receives the prize. He said, so run that ye may obtain. I asked this question earlier. I want to ask it again. Are you really training to win? Are you really running this race to win? Are you really running like heaven's at the end of the road? Sister Betty asked the question. If everyone in the church was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? If everyone on your team was running as hard as you, would you be a winner? Something to think about. Someone say good preaching. Oh me, oh my. Amen. They that run, they run on. Now, I'm going to give you a few pointers today. Let me hurry. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. And bring it into subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be reprobate. A castaway. Same word in the original language. What's God saying? He's saying, run as hard as you can. I've used the statement. Me and Brother John was going through the forest and a bear got after us. Let's see how fast John could run. But see, I wouldn't have to outrun the bear. I'd just have to outrun John. Can somebody say amen? But understanding the danger motivates us to run, don't it? And today, I really believe that the world system, taking lightly the gospel in heaven and hell, being the point of ridicule, and Sister Betty, some thought think it's a fairy tale, a myth. Interesting, I'll read, and they'll talk about a creation myth. Oh, but you believe it went bang, and all this come together, and all the systems in the human body totally coordinated and working together. You know lungs can't work without a heart? Would lungs have evolved by themselves without a heart? Are y'all with me? Guess what? There are hundreds of systems in this body all dependent on each other, and they couldn't have existed without each other. They had to come into existence all at once, or it makes no sense. And you believe that happened by a bang? Let's talk about who believes a myth. Hear me now. Glory to God. God's good. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're running this race, and We've got to understand there is a prize before us, and if we understand the danger that's behind us. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about those that have fled. Someone say fled. For refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before him, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And it enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner Jesus has entered for us. The last verse of Hebrews chapter number 6. Brother Tim, I'm fleeing. I'm running because something's on my heel. There is a danger. And friends, if you let up, if you slow down, if you give in, if you compromise, glory to God. Say, Brother Tim, you're not preaching like this in a little while. It's about time, man. There's no time to let up. You've got to run this race. And it's not he that starts well. Hear me now, but it's he that finishes well. We want to finish well. Hebrews 12. Turn to it. Wherefore, verse 1. He said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of what? Of witnesses. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Someone say, praise the Lord. Why? So that we can run this race. Verse 2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God. Verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you what? You're running this race. Lest you be wearied and you faint in your mind. We have folks fainting today. We have folks weary today because verse 3 says they're not considering Jesus. We read in 1 Corinthians 9 how we need to bring our body into subjection. Hebrews 12 tells us we need to consider Jesus if we're going to finish well. We've got to get a hold of this flesh. The Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of this body. He says if you do that, you're going to live. But if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Someone say, praise the Lord. We're running this race. We need to run with all of our might. I've told the story, and I've mentioned this in the past, but my brother Keith was a wonderful athlete. Though Keith's been in church with us several times here. He scored 23 points in one track. And that's a lot of points. He won four or five events when he done that. He had the school record for the long jump. He was a really fast runner. And I'd mentioned this, so some of y'all may sound familiar. Some of y'all probably haven't heard this. But he was running the 100-meter high hurdle. 42-inch bar. He has to run and jump over. Hard enough to run, but I have to jump over. Say amen. Well, he just took off and started pulling away from everyone else. And he sort of glanced to the side and didn't see nobody. So as he was running, he done this. He looked behind him. He went somewhere where his other folks was. And when he did, his foot caught one of them hurdles and he did a nosedive right to the asphalt. Still got up and finished third out of eight. Still beat more than he did. And what do we do when we fall? How many believe we need to keep our eyes on the finish line? And who's the finish line? Somebody say Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the finish line. Lift your hands and praise Him. He is your reward. He is your Savior. He is your loving Master. Glory to God. He is your King of kings and Lord of lords. He's Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the author of life, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Prince of life. Glory to God. He was there. When man was breathed into it, he became a living soul. And he needs to resuscitate some of us today. He needs to blow into your spiritual being and bring you to life in him. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano this morning? There's other things I could preach, but I'm stopping right there. Glory to God. I want to encourage you today. Keep running. Keep running. Don't fall by the wayside. Don't let that seed in your life fall on stony ground or amongst the thorns or by the wayside, but let it be in the good ground. Because you need to finish well. I'm not bragging today. Only in the Lord. Hear me now. Just like the king of Israel challenged Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. Don't boast. when you take off your armor, that's when you take off the harness. After you've ran that chariot, after you've whooped this thing, you can brag. But until that happens, you won't have to fight. Have me made your mind, you know, the devil's a big, awful foe. We know that. I'm not here to upset the devil, but he is a mighty foe. But have me also understand greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm not bragging on me today. I'll have to say in and of myself, I've never beat the devil. But it's only through my faith in Christ I've seen him fall many times. And I'll tell you where he's at today. He's underneath the sole of my feet. Can't remember what preacher it was, Brother Tim, but he wrote the devil on the bottom of his boat, his boots. I got my cowboy boots on today. I can ride on the bottom of that. That way he'll get familiar with it because that's where he's going to be. Because we are mostly in Jesus. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. This morning, I want to challenge you if you're not where you need to be with the Lord. If you're not ready for heaven. Child of God, if you've let up and you're not running this race the way you should, I want to challenge you to take off and run as hard as you can as long as you can. I believe as we run this race, we feel winded at times, we feel exhausted at times. We get what we call that second wind. That's the Lord helping us. Someone says, Brother Ted, I've become a Christian, but I can't live this. Well, join the club. I can't live it either. It's only by faith in Christ and with His help that we live. I want us to pray together as a group, and then we're shortly going to come and gather on the altar. But let's pray God have His way in our church. Father, we thank You this morning. We praise You this morning. Thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for Your touch and the power of Your Spirit. Thank You for Your hand extended. And Lord, this morning we just agree together that You have Your way, that You minister to this body of believers. Lord, that You give us souls for our labor, that You're glorified in this church. Have Your way.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. I want everyone that could make your way to the front, gather around this altar, kneel at your seat, call upon the Lord this morning.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to because